Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Cowboys Buccaneers, as the announcer man just said here on DFW Sports Station, it's going to be Sunday Night Football tomorrow. The great Mike Tirico will be joining the program today at 9:20. We'll have Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com, Sean Shreve, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. During the commercial-free expressway, we have a Boys to Men ticket giveaway to hook you up with. Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times is getting set to join us here momentarily. Bob, what do you think the point spread is right now?
Tampa Bay, let's see, I think it started at 3, so we'll say it went up. Tampa Bay, 4.
Good job. You're doing a good job guessing today. Bucks,
I always do.
By 4? No, that's why I said today. The over-under is 48.5.
Okay, I could see that. Tampa Bay puts up points, and they've struggled a little bit defensively. Dallas is starting to figure things out on offense.
Let's bring in Rick Stroud to preview here on 105.3 The Fan, courtesy of the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Does Tampa by 4 make sense in Vegas to you?
You're asking me about gambling lines? I have no clue, man. I don't gamble, and I don't participate in that stuff. But listen, they should be favored in this game. And I think, you know, simply put, they've been in sort of this playoff mode for a while now. And they also are running the ball as well as anybody in the National Football League right now. And that's an area that we know the Cowboys do not do very well in. So with the momentum they should have from their Chargers game, every game is different, obviously, and for what they're playing for with a one-game lead in the South, 4 points sounds about right, I guess.
Yeah, talk to us about Bucky Irving, his story and the evolution of this running game. We also thought that I lost money on this, not that you would know because you don't want to talk about Vegas, but Chuba Hubbard got shut down by Mike Zimmer and the Cowboys defense. So that'll give some Cowboy fans hope against Bucky Irving. But just talk about his evolution this year.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got three running backs. They've all done well at different times. And, you know, it's Rashad White has been the starter. I think the story is Liam Cohen and you know, sort of that offensive scheme, what they've done up front with the offensive line. But Bucky Irving is a guy that was, probably underdrafted out of Oregon. He's not the fastest guy. That might be one of the reasons why he wasn't picked higher. But he absolutely, almost in every instance, makes the first guy miss, even if it's in the backfield. He gets positive yards. He's averaged over 5 yards a carry from the first tote. And he's explosive. He's going to have one or two runs a game that's going to go for 30-plus yards. And, you know, when you have a back that's dynamic like that, can also catch the football, they use them both in a 21 personnel type situation that's been very effective for them. And, you know, Bucky Irving is going to be an all-rookie player and, you know, probably should get some Rookie of the Year votes. But he's been their home run hitter and a guy that can close out games for him. He's been terrific.
Rick, you know, we were talking about this last week a little bit when we were just kind of looking at things across the NFL, that the Buccaneers to me feel like the greatest example right now of an any given Sunday type of team. They've won four in a row after losing four in a row and kind of alternating wins and losses back and forth before that. Even the Saints game they played earlier this year, they go up 17-0, then they get outscored 27-7, then they outscore them 27-0 the rest of the way. Yeah. What is this Buccaneers team? Do you think they've settled into an identity and figured out what exactly they are on a week-to-week basis?
I think they have. I think injuries has been the biggest part of their story this year. You know, if you really look at what's happened on their defense, they've had so many guys miss time. They still don't have either of their top starting safeties. Antoine Winfield Jr. is an all-pro, you know, and he's out again for the second time. Jordan Whitehead, they got back from the Jets. He's on IR. You know, they've just had so many guys down on that side of the ball. They've been playing with one inside linebacker, Lavonte Davis, 34, still playing his butt off because they don't have a second inside linebacker. So they do a lot of snaps with, you know, dime and nickel situations. So I think they just had to be really resourceful. And when you have the third youngest team in the league and you're relying on a lot of those guys to play because of injuries early in the season, it's taken them a while to learn how to play in the National Football League. That's not a breaking news story. But these guys, because, you know, they lost Mike Evans, they lost Chris Godwin, they lost some really tough games. They've had three walk-off losses to teams like Kansas City and San Francisco. And, you know, I think it hardened them a little bit, but you can't get those back. You know, now all those rookies that had to play are now experienced, and they're starting to make big plays, and they have settled into a pretty good identity offensively. And defensively, they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. I mean, they've allowed 15 points in the last four games a game, which is the best in the NFL since they came back from their bye week. But honest to God, I don't know how they're keeping it together on that side of the ball.
Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times, previewing Cowboys Buccaneers right here on 105.3 The Fan. Rick, has Baker solidified himself as the long-term answer at quarterback? And what has it been like covering Mayfield?
He's been terrific. Really enjoy the guy. He's authentic. I think that's what his teammates sensed right away as soon as he got here. And, you know, he's been through a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing to come in and try to follow a Tom Brady, but that's the guy who could do it. And, you know, he signed a one-year make-it contract for $4 million, allowed them to put him through a sort of quarterback competition with Kyle Trask, which he won. And he has really found a home here. And now he has a three-year, $100 million contract. And, you know, teammates love him. You see the style of play he has. He's got to be careful. He takes too many hits. But the guy absolutely, you know, will not quit on a play. And now I think he's been reunited with the guy that he had for about 5 weeks with the Rams during that odyssey, and Liam Cohen. And the two of them have really collaborated on just what's been, you know, a great relationship and a great offense. And so he's very much at home here, has a new baby, has a new house, you know, and I think he's finally, you know, after many years of wandering through that NFL desert, he's kind of, you know, found his home.
You know, Dallas has sort of changed up their identity as the season's gone along. They've lost players, and they really focus in on running the ball now. They've had a lot of success with Rico Dowdle in recent weeks. Tampa Bay, I know, had a lot of struggles stopping the run early the last 5 weeks or so. Much improved against teams that like to run the ball, like Carolina and San Francisco and teams like that. You mentioned you don't know how they're keeping it together on that side of the ball. Is that something where Tampa Bay's just gotten up in some of these games and prevented these teams from running the ball, or is their run defense just tightened up a little bit?
Well, I think it's tightened up a lot. I think, again, you know, experience has done that. I think, you know, the coaches during the bye week really focused on themselves. They were, you know, not tackling well. They had a lot of things that were just football things that were self-inflicted. And I think they've improved on that. They've gotten to know their players a little bit better. But, you know, against some of these teams like the Chargers who, you know they're going to run the ball, and they – you know, they have a 290-pound fullback and a 290-pound tight end. I think they've just committed themselves, you know, to stopping the run. And then being so versatile and multiple with a lot of these chess pieces that Todd Bowles has back there that can, you know, rush, cover, blitz. You've seen, you know, Lavonte David get home a bunch of times and pass rush. So they've just been very versatile. And I think, again, these guys have kind of learned their roles, and the coaches have learned them as well, because they're playing a lot of rookies at different times and guys, you know, that are off other teams' practice squads that they've had in camp at some point. So it's really been kind of a grab bag. It's a tribute to Todd Bowles and his coaching staff. But shutting down the run is something that they've done against some pretty good teams. You know, it starts there. And then, you know, and then he's always dialed up pressures, and it's always created problems for quarterbacks.
Bucs reporter Rick Stroud joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So, Rick, you mentioned Todd Bowles there. Obviously, we know that he's got a defensive background, and he's had some strong defenses over the years. What is he like in terms of, if this is a close game, what is he like in terms of his aggressiveness on fourth down, going for two, you know, just the various things, clock management, how much is his game management a strength? How do you evaluate him as a game manager and somebody who's maybe aggressive with some of those decisions?
Well, he's not Dan Campbell, right? Nobody is. And I think, you know, there are times he will go for it on fourth down, but it's very measured, very calculated, not something that that you go into the game thinking, you know, and they're really going to push the envelope here today. Clock management has been an issue. They've lost games going back with Tom Brady because of poor clock management, and they've been on both sides of it. So, you know, I wouldn't consider that a strength of his. You know, what he is I think somebody that, you know, throughout an NFL season, there's going to be a lot of adversity strike. It did with these guys, you know, 2 years in a row, they were 3-1. Both years, some things happened, whether it was schedule, whether it was injuries or both, where they hit a losing streak. And it's really hard, as you guys know, in Dallas to turn that around, you know, once it starts rolling downhill like that. But you got to find a way to win in November and December in this league, and if you're going to play in January. So, you know, the ability to you know, people see him on the sidelines. Believe me, he's got a lot of fire going on in that belly. He's a former NFL player. He's extremely competitive. And he relates to his players, but he's also had a steady hand. He's been a guy that hasn't panicked. His teams haven't panicked, and they've gotten better each week. And so I credit him for doing that. Is he going to get them over the hump and win a Super Bowl one day? I think this team's window is really open for a while. They've got a very, very young football team. They look like they have their quarterback for a few years now. And if Todd Bowles continues to win, you know, this would be his third straight NFC South championship. Everybody can dog the conference, or the division rather, but that's just the what it is, and winning is what it's about in this league. So, you know, we'll see if he can hang on to a coordinator for more than 1 year. They keep leaving them to be head coaches, but so far so good. And of course, Todd is well known, you know, having coached in Dallas with Bill Parcells. He learned a lot about the game there, and has a lot of good memories about the Cowboys.
Rick, what's your impression of the Cowboys? Are you looking at them as their typical mess? Are you looking at them as a dangerous upset possibility this upcoming weekend? What's your view on Dallas?
Well, they've won 3 out of 4, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they've got a little wind in their sails. And you know, obviously, when you don't have your starting quarterback, it's hard to win in this league, and they've managed to do that. We know they've got elite players and game wreckers at various positions, and you have to identify those guys, and they're playing at home. So, you know, all those things tell you that you can't just walk in there and expect to win. You're going to have to play hard and outplay them. And I think they've righted the ship a little bit, you know, given their circumstances. I don't know what the future is of the head coach. I look at it from afar, and I believe that, you know, Jerry Jones, as much as he wants to win, has not done enough, you know, to help them in certain areas for whatever reason. But they've got elite players, you know, at certain positions that are a problem every single Sunday or Monday or Thursday. And they probably should be winning more than they have. But now with the backup quarterback, you know, like I said, who's to say what the expectations are at this point? But, you know, they get plenty of attention whether they win or they lose, and they always are. So they're going to be a story, and the whole, you know, I really believe and all that, you know, is always going to be, you know, top news. So they're an interesting team. It's always fun to go there. And as long as they got the star on their helmets, they're relevant.
Rick, are you a Hall of Fame voter?
I am not. Ira Kaufman is here. Although I've been in the room, and I do I have filled in there once in a while, so I have a lot of opinions on it.
Is Mike Evans, give us your opinion, is Mike Evans going to be an easy decision?
He would be for me, and I think he will be in that room. Look, he needs to average around, what, 85, 87 yards these last three games, and he'll have his 11th consecutive 1,000-yard receiving season, which doesn't sound like much, 1,000 yards these days. But believe me, his consistency is something that's unparalleled in the NFL. Only Jerry Rice has done it 11 years. No one's done it 10 years to start his career. You look at the touchdowns, the big games he's played in. Everybody says he's the most underrated receiver in the league, but he's so underrated that now he's rated. I think everybody knows who he is, and I know enough about that room to know when they get in there and you're looking at a guy that's, what, in the top maybe 15 all-time in so many different categories, yards, touchdowns, things like that, and he's won a Super Bowl. You look at the quarterbacks he's played with. You know, this guy didn't have Aaron Rodgers for 10 years or – you know, somebody like that. So, to me, he is a Hall of Famer. First ballot, I never get into that because I don't know what that means. It depends on the class that year. But he's definitely going to have a gold jacket, and he played great last week. He really carried their team.
Rick, we've had some pretty rough opposing fan invasions at AT&T Stadium this year. Baltimore, New Orleans, Cincinnati, a bunch of different teams have come in here and been able to pick up a large chunk of the stadium. How does Tampa travel generally? When you go on the road, do you notice that the fan base travels pretty well? And is that potentially going to be a game where you'll see people scooping up seats here in AT&T?
Well, I think they could. I was shocked by the number of Bucs fans in Los Angeles, although that's kind of an L.A. thing, right? The other team seems to invade your stadium. But it was a lot of people, and that's a long trip. This one, not quite as far. It is close to Christmas, though, so I don't know how people want to spend their money. That might be a question. But, you know, they've got momentum. The fan base is excited about this team. So it would not surprise me with a two-and-a-half-hour flight if you don't see a lot of red or orange in that stadium on Sunday night.
Rick, before we let you go, got to ask you about the news of the day because it's in your division. What did you think, honestly, when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix? And what did you think of the switch in benching Cousins yesterday?
Well, I had a different perspective on it because...
Rick? Oh, Rick. Oh, we lost him. He gone.
Some Atlanta Arthur Blank pulled the power on him.
Just that's like, right.
You're not going to say anything about us.
Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times. We'll see if he hangs around for another 30 or 45 seconds with Pepe trying to reconnect. Then we'll hook you up with Boys to Men tickets during the commercial-free expressway. We got around the NFL power rankings at 8 o'clock this morning as well, and it is a Meet Church Wednesday. We got to get your prime ribs ready with Matt Pittman from Meet Church. Pepe, is he gone? See you later.
He's gone.
Okay. Oh. He was good. He was solid.
Yeah, he was. A lot of information.
Not gambling information.
No, not gambling information. The NFL gambling policy is working because it does tend to put the fear of God and people just go like, nope, don't know nothing about that. Couldn't tell you.
But are guys like him, I know team websites, Nick Eatman and them can't get into it.
So a lot of them, I think a lot of writers like that end up because of their proximity to the team, end up doing some work with the team where they end up having to do some contract stuff. If you even have contract work with the NFL at any point, you can't do it.